I suspect we've all found ourselves in situations where we did not feel welcome. It might be the surly waiter at a store or a restaurant who's supposed to be serving us. Or it might be the aggressive driver on the highway who almost pushes us off the road. Or it might be that person in our office setting or work setting who's always trying to undermine everything we do. And in those moments, we probably feel like the disciples in the gospel today who were rejected, were not welcomed as they're making this journey with Jesus. They're angry, they're frustrated, and they say, "Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" I suspect we can sympathize with their sentiments, although we might use a little more colorful language in those kinds of situations ourselves. But it says Jesus turned to those disciples just to rebuke them. "We're not going to let these minor nuisances get in our way. We have a journey to make." It says in the gospel he was determined to make this journey to Jerusalem. Now, in the gospel of Luke, the journey to Jerusalem is never just something on a map. It's never just a road trip. The journey to Jerusalem is a phrase that means that Jesus is going to accomplish his mission, to bring it to culmination. The journey to Jerusalem is a journey to the cross. The journey to Jerusalem is a journey to the resurrection. The journey to Jerusalem is a journey to all of those sacred things by which we have been saved. All of those things through which we have been set free. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." The opening line of our reading today from St. Paul. What a wonderful line. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Free from tyranny. Free from the tyranny of sin. By the forgiveness of our sins. Free from the tyranny of evil by providing the grace that allows us to rise above the spirit of violence and hatred that just seems to pervade our world and even our nation. All of these tyrannies, the tyranny of death, they opening us to the way of eternal life. And ultimately from the tyranny of fear. Because fear is the tool that tyranny always uses. Every tyrant in human history has always used the tool of fear to try to compel and control others. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the sacred events that bring this about. And he's saying to his disciples, "Come with me. Come with me along the way." And he meets other people along the way, as we continue to hear in that passage, making of them, in my opinion, pretty unreasonable demands. You know, "Let me bury my father? Doesn't that sound like something reasonable?" But in those comments, it's clear that Jesus is saying to us that if we're going to walk with him, that we have to put that above everything. Else. That has to be the most important thing in our lives. It can never be half-hearted. We have to give everything to it. We have to bring to it all of our energy, all of our enthusiasm, all of our excitement. You know, I guess there are some for whom the recent NBA finals might have brought more enthusiasm and excitement than being a follower of Jesus. Now, I have to pause here for a moment. As I said, I've known your pastor for a long time. We're part of a priest support group together, actually. And if you tell him, as he knows me, if you tell him that I used a sports analogy in a homily, he is liable to faint right on the spot. So be very careful what you say to him. And I have to admit, I did not see the famous Game 7 of the NBA Finals and did not know until the next morning that Cleveland had won. Now, my point is not to diminish your excitement and enthusiasm over basketball or whatever it is in life that brings you that excitement and enthusiasm. But I think Jesus is saying to us, and he says, this can't be half-hearted, that we need to bring the same excitement and enthusiasm to following him, to walking with him. If anything, an excitement and enthusiasm that would exceed any other things in our lives. And what are some steps we can take to move toward that? Because I think it's, the truth be told, most of us can't say honestly that we have that excitement and enthusiasm to which Jesus calls us. What are some steps we can take? Well, to go back to our friend St. Paul, be guided by the Spirit. He tells us that in our second reading today. To allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's the prayer component, you might say. Lord, if you want us to walk with you on this journey, and to make this the most important thing in our lives, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need that guidance of the Holy Spirit. But beside the prayer component, there needs to be the action component, and St. Paul tells us about that also. He says, you know, everything that God expects of us or wants of us, the whole law can be summed up in one phrase. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. To reach out beyond our own self-interests. To reach out to the others in need, and most especially those in greatest need around us and in our world. The action component. And finally, of course, we cannot make the walk with Christ if we don't come here. As you have this morning, if we don't come here to be with Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, present among us in this very sacrament, if we don't come here to be in communion with him, if we don't come here to allow this sacrament to celebrate and deepen our communion with Christ, our communion with all of those who have made the walk with Jesus before us, and our communion with each other.